currently Kirkland, your source for city news and events in the community. With Connie Terman at the news desk. Stay up to date with weekly news reports and what's happening in Kirkland. Now, here's Connie.
Welcome to Currently Kirkland, where you hear stories about the people and places that make Kirkland an attractive and vibrant place to live, work, and visit. I'm Connie Terman. February is Kirkland History Month, and at Juanita Beach Park, the park's history is now highlighted on signs recently installed along its sandy shoreline. The Juanita Neighborhood Association spearheaded the sign project with funding assistance from Kirkland's Neighborhood Matching Grant Program. Juanita Neighborhood Association board member Karen Lightfeld explains how the original plan for one sign grew into two.
In working on this sign, then we interviewed some of the descendants of the Forbes family, and they were very enthused about the project, so they decided to donate another sign. The money was doubled, and we were able to do this sign and a sign that is at the other end of the sidewalk that is about the Forbes family and their connection to the park.
For 35 years, the Forbes family ran a lakeside resort complete with cabin rentals, amusement park, and bathhouse. Pieces of this past are still being discovered, like this brass key tag and safety pin found in Lake Washington.
Yesterday I found something that said L.L. Forbes Bathhouse. That was the name of I think it's Leslie Forbes that started the bathhouse. He was the son of the guy that settled here. Uh-huh. In the 20s he started it.
The Forbes family turned down developer offers so the resort could become public land and sold it to King County Parks in 1956 for just under $47,000. The city of Kirkland acquired the park in 2003 and completed a major renovation in 2011. The Juanita Neighborhood Association has also received a grant from 4Culture.
And we will be replacing some of the signs on the Juanita Bay Bridge that are both a little outdated and also in need of a new look. And then in this grant cycle, we've applied to the city for additional funds to replace some of the faded signs that are closer toward the middle of the bridge. So that's pending.
The Kirkland Fire Department was honored recently with a $5,000 grant from ADT for saving a Finn Hill resident and his home last month. The resident, Jim Zimmerman, was taking a nap and was jarred awake by the ADT alarm.
I crawled in my hands and knees with my fire extinguisher and blew it out and didn't know what to do. I was terrified when the flames leaping up, you know, 3 feet in the air. It's kind of scary in your house. And then you find as I walked out, I saw the fireman's foot come around the corner, and the fast response was unreal. It was just unreal.
Zimmerman was unable to find his phone to call 911. A Florida ADT operator who received the home's fire alarm alerted local authorities.
I was just like, oh my gosh. I didn't even like know which one it was until they went further in details with me, and I was like, I remember that account.
The donation to be used for equipment was accepted by Kirkland's fire chief, Kevin Nalder, at a recent ceremony held at the Zimmerman residence.
And it's a testament to smoke detectors and alarm systems in homes. And these systems allow our firefighters to arrive on the scene sooner before a life is lost or property is lost.
The Florida ADT operator, Chessie Barrett, Kirkland Fire Department Captain Ivan Hold, and firefighters Jesse Martindale and Andy O'Keefe were also honored at the ceremony. The City Council has adopted its 2013-2014 priority goals and the City Work Program, which supports these goals. The Council's 6 priority goals are economic development, financial stability, public safety, dependable infrastructure, parks, open space and recreational services, and neighborhoods. At the council meeting, Kirkland City Manager Kurt Triplett spoke about the next steps for the City Work Program.
We will then turn around and provide you with implementation plans, and then, as we did last year, the goal is for us to then communicate this to all of our council boards and commissions, our neighborhoods, and the public, so that the public understands what you've decided are the major initiatives to be accomplished in the next 2 years.
Some of these major initiatives include revitalizing the Totem Lake Business District, developing a citywide multimodal transportation master plan, completing construction and occupying the public safety building, and finishing the Cross Kirkland Corridor master plan and construction of the interim trail. For more information, go to kirklandwa.gov/council. Kirkland's Public Works Department will be busy with several of these projects in the 2013-2014 City Work Program, and it now has a new team member to help lead the work. Last month, Pam Bissonette joined the City of Kirkland as Interim Public Works Director and will coordinate major projects including the Public Safety Building, securing state transportation funds to ease congestion, and for new 132nd Street ramps to 405, and implementing voter-approved street maintenance and pedestrian safety projects. Bissonette spent most of her career working at the City of Bellevue. Most recently, she served as Executive Director of NORCOM, a regional public safety communications agency. In the early 90s, she served as King County's first Director of Natural Resources. Welcome to Kirkland, Pam. Last month, the 2013 Sustainable Cities Roundtable Series was launched at Kirkland City Hall. The Roundtable is a forum of learning and collaboration on green building and climate change policy for King County and its cities. Patty Southard, Program Manager of King County Green Tools.
Where we've ended up 5 years later is that we have 30 cities with green building activity and we have 19 cities with formal programming. And that takes place in a room like this once a month with staff getting together, talking about what we can do and sharing really good ideas with our elected officials and taking that information up the chain. And we have these amazing elected officials in this region that are focused on climate adaptation, climate change, and green building.
This year's roundtable theme, Beyond Net Zero, Resilience, Regeneration, and Social Justice, was kicked off by bringing together a variety of guest speakers, including former King County Executive Ron Sims and Jason McLennan of the Living Future Institute, who spoke about changing our reaction to major disruptions like a natural disaster.
How do we keep responding? Do we keep heading down a path where the quality of life is going to continue to diminish? Or are we going to figure out how to have solutions that is not about merely withstanding, but artfully flourishing to create a beautiful world that becomes more and more resilient while being better for people and planet? That's the question we ought to be asking with these things.
The Roundtable Series is co-hosted by the King County Green Tools Program and the King County Cities Climate Collaboration, a voluntary partnership between the county and its cities. For more information about Kirkland's sustainability efforts, visit www.kirklandwa.gov/kirklandgreen. Thanks for watching Currently Kirkland. Remember, you can watch us on demand on the city's website, on your mobile devices, and on YouTube. If you have any news tips, suggestions, or comments, please send them to kirklandtv@kirklandwa.gov. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for watching Currently Kirkland, and we'll see you next time.